tired, exhausted, burned out, depressed. Those words describe Elijah as he sat in the cave, as he sat in that area. Now, this is quite a jump from the story that we typically share of Elijah, his encounter on Mount Carmel. You know, a reminder that you got the wicked woman, Jezebel. It was, in fact, in my grandmother's day, a woman could call another woman Jezebel, still remain a lady, and it packed a punch. Again, just she's nothing but a Jezebel. We knew that was bad. Okay, got it from Queen Jezebel. She is a disciple of Baal, introducing or promoting Baal worship among the people. Elijah has the big showdown on Mount Carmel. It's either Yahweh or Baal. And let the prophets of Baal go first. They've got their altar. Let Baal bring down fire and nothing happens. He even taunts them and says, say a little louder. You might be in the restroom, okay? You know, something like that. And again, nothing happens. Then Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. Has even water poured on the wood. And y'all try to light wet wood? Okay. He makes it very even harder. And fire is struck down. It's a great victory. And it's very seen clearly that Yahweh is real. That is this great high moment. Numerous times in Sunday school, numerous times in Vacation Bible School, that lesson has been presented. In fact, if I made a top 10 list of Old Testament stories, the great victory of Mount Carmel would be one of them. It is exciting and dramatic and true. Yet from that mountaintop victory, Elijah goes to the cave of despair. Elijah felt let down, and he felt alone, and he felt persecuted. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah felt like a failure. In this larger story, again, we've got section today for the lesson, but throughout this larger story, he's really asking, was it worth it? And says, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers, those who have gone before me. Elijah felt tired and exhausted and burned out and depressed. Elijah faced what one pastor called the Elijah syndrome. Something that all of us face from time to time. It can be over something big or over something small. I'm thinking about in a church setting. There's much to go on in preparation. We've got Vacation Bible School right around the corner, and people are getting set up for that. This is actually going to be held, and we're inviting the Living Word Church kids to join us. So this is a new thing, and there's a lot of excitement with that. And then by the time it is over, you might feel a bit down. VBS alums here might know what I'm talking about. It's good that our choir has a block of time off. They're taking off two blocks this summer because they put a lot of themselves out in their work with that. Faithful church officers serving with the session and diaconate. And that can be a challenge, especially over time. In Farmville and the JCs, I held all three vice president roles of internal, external, and membership at one time. Not bragging, I'm just saying, it's like, am I ever going to get off the board of the JCs? And I think I'm back on the board for next year for Rotary. I'll let you know in a few weeks. We're about to wrap up our year. So yes, that it can be joy, and that this can be very joyful. People have said, you know, serving as an elder was a great honor for me and a joy, but it can be a challenge, and it can get draining at times. Just being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, balancing commitments, being honest and truthful in a world where that is not always done, that can lead to an Elijah syndrome. we look at the larger story of Elijah here, we see that he is sitting under a tree at one point. He is not eating or taking care of himself, complaining that he is a failure and that he wants to die, and then an angel makes him eat. And this continues for 40 days. And then Elijah went to a cave and pours out his heart to God. And I was thinking of caves and cave pictures. What you have on your cover is actually from up in there, the caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. It's down in Qumran, and that's a very hot, low place in the world. And I thought, well, that would be a good symbol of a cave where he would go. I thought about having actually a picture from Mount Carmel. I got to go to Mount Carmel as well, and then the caves. But I thought, no, that's where we're meeting. It seems best. We're meeting Elijah today at the cave, and so that's what we've got. And there he is. He pours out his heart to God. Elijah says, Lord, I have worked hard for you. I've done the right thing, even though others have not. I am all alone, and they want to kill me. And God hears his cry, and God shows Elijah his presence through wind and earthquake and fire. Yet Elijah cannot be talked out of his sadness. He really can't talk people out of it. God does not give up on Elijah. God hears his cry. And God gives Elijah a new commission. Elijah had wanted to quit, saying, where does a prophet go to resign? But after time, the Lord gives Elijah a new task. And Elijah will not be alone. Elisha will be a helper for Elijah. That's again a biblical pattern that we see. Earlier, we had the story of Naomi, the Hebrew woman that with her husband had gone to live in Moab because of the economic hardship where they lived, and they had sons, and the sons got married, and you're anticipating, you know, grandchildren. And then the husband dies, and both sons die, and she says to her daughters-in-law, you know, you need to go back to your homes and see if you can rebuild a life there. And Orpah says, okay, I mean, neither one of them to do it. Orpah eventually says, okay. Naomi, and Ruth says, no, I'm sticking with you. And I think that's my call, is to go with you. And so she does. And so there's a noble story of Ruth, Naomi and Ruth. They're a team. In the New Testament, we have Paul, and he's got the friend Barnabas, who gave him his shot, gave him a chance when no one else would believe in him. And later, Paul is pouring into Timothy. At times, at these sad moments, sometimes something new is what's needed. In this story, God reminds Elijah he's not a failure. 7,000 people have not bowed the knee to Baal. Also, in this larger section, it's reminded that Elijah had forgotten about a fellow named Obadiah, not the prophet that we have in the Old Testament, but another Obadiah who had served in the house of the king, had feared God, and had hid prophets. Thinking then again, Anne Frank being hid in the attic. How often do we forget that there are those around us laboring as well? If one is a disciple of Jesus Christ, one will face the Elijah syndrome. It's not a question of if, but when and how strong. In the midst of this, Jesus calls to us, come unto me, all you who are weary, who are carrying those burdens. My yoke is light. A pattern of saying, come to me. There's some obedience, you know, there's obviously something needs to be done, but come to me in that place. Last week, we looked at Hagar and her encounter with God. Definitely an outsider, but on the inside track based on her position. And all of her supports are gone. She's at the end of a rope. God speaks to her, you have a place. We also briefly looked at the tax collector Zacchaeus, an outsider of a different type on the inside track. I mean, nobody likes him. He's a tax collector, but he's rich and well-connected. He was seeking and not even fully knowing it, and God sees him. You have a job. I'm coming to your house today. He repents and repays to others. Elijah is burned out, burned to a crisp, and avoiding God. And the Lord seeks him out and speaks to him. You have a mission. What are some takeaways that we can get from this? First, and I've got five if you're taking notes. First, remember to take care of yourself. The basics of eat and sleep and exercise. I've shared before, the pastor saying the connection they have seen in parishioners. That you're feeling distant from the Lord. What's your eating like? What's your sleeping like? What's your exercise like? Work on those first and then see how the spiritual side connects. So remember to take care of yourself. And one thing is, just be sad for a while. It's normal to feel that way. Once in a conversation with someone, the advice I was given was, just walk with it. Don't run away from the sadness, but also don't run too far ahead. Oh, let's get it over with. Just walk with it. And third, be honest before the Lord. Whatever that challenge is. Again, we've got Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Number 22 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you need both voices in Scripture. If you're a letter writer, write a letter and just put it out there, what you're frustrated about or what's on your heart. You need to walk and talk. Do that. A man once shared, this was from Georgia, going through a hard season and just getting on 285. That interstate is the one that surrounds the city of Atlanta. And just yelling at the Lord. A man yelling in a car on 285 is very normal. So there was no way that he would have stood out. He said, and based on where I was located, I couldn't do anything stupid there. And I didn't do anything stupid. But that was a place where I could go and just vent as to what had happened. Pour out your heart, your joy, your frustration, your discouragement. God is strong enough to take it. And then in due time, be encouraged. Let others encourage you as well. It might be a situation where I'm just overwhelmed and a person is sharing great words for you. Take notes. File it away. Open it later and let it encourage you. And you may not feel it, but just know it. Someone's reaching out to you. One person said to a friend in a difficult time, let others pray for you. And then in due time, take up a new task or recommit to what you are doing. Now, Scripture here does not promise any easy answers. Elijah went back to a tough struggle, not a garden party. Ahab and Jezebel were still around and up to their old tricks. There's much more to come. But Elijah went back, equipped by God. And by God's grace, we can do the same too. Amen.